This is the Financial Coconut Podcast, Singapore's first personal finance podcast network. I'm your host, Reggie, aka Your Chief Financial Coconut, and every Tuesday, you'll be joining me on my personal segment, First Dibs, where I bring you through some of the latest, most interesting ideas in the personal finance space, hoping you inch closer to the life you love while managing your finances well.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Okay, so if you live in Singapore, you probably know that the government of Singapore is seeding the ground once again. To talk about, is it time for us to raise our pay further? So, right, you start to see this. Don't cancel me. Don't cancel me. But if you have actually listened to episode 178, right, of First Dibs, my segment First Dibs, I talk a little bit about how to manage complex financial conversations, right? And the very first tip is called seeding the ground. So the ground is getting seeded. You're seeing articles, like, you're seeing non-com ministers coming out and say, maybe to increase our talent pool, we need to increase our price and everything, right? We need to pay our ministers more. So for all that, and to be clear, I don't envy their job, but do they really need to pay more? I don't know. But for you, I know a lot of us want to be paid more. So today I'm going to put together some tips, very proven strategies to go about increasing your pay. So welcome back. So good morning, everyone. I welcome you to another day with the Financial Coconut. In our podcast, debunking financial myths, discovering best financial practices, and discussing financial strategies that fits our unique life. You get it. Ultimately, empowering us to create a life we love while managing our finances well. I'm your host, Reggie, aka Your Chief Financial Coconut. And welcome back to my segment, First Dibs, where I hope to bring you some of the most interesting and leading forefront ideas in the personal finance space. Yeah, very bougie today. Yeah? Feeling very atas because we're talking about atas topic, right? Okay, so if you live in a kampong, like you don't read papers, or maybe you don't, like maybe most of us don't anymore. You listen, where you get your news from? The Financial Coconut, right? From our Wednesday segment, market updates, right? Yeah, like how many people still read these days, right? Especially it doesn't help that SPH has a saga ongoing and all that. So yeah, I don't want to comment, like, you know, later I'm gonna cancel, no more sponsors want to work with me and blah, blah, blah. Okay, but the idea here is, if you don't live under a rock, you may have seen some articles floating around talking about salary review. Because every 5 years, actually, there's a broad ministerial salary review, right? And you're seeing some narratives coming out, lah, you know, for our talent pool, you know, we need to track the best talent and all that. Lah. So you start to see those things coming out. And to be clear, I think a lot of the top talents do work in the government, which is great, right? It benefits us. But at what price and all that, that's a different discussion. But at least I know a lot of people are like, huh, really? Still want to increase? Not enough. 1 year, 1 million. 1 year, one condo. Leh. Right? Every year you get one condo, like shiok. Not enough. Right? So I get it. A lot of us on the ground may not be fully agreeable, but it is much more complicated discussion that I think we should have, right? But maybe not on this platform, but I wonder which platform to go to, which platform wants to host, the Yalabat guys want to host me on their show. We can talk about it. Hey, Yalabat, hey, please tag the Yalabat guys. I think they'll work with me on this, right? So we may have a discussion around that, but today the focus is you. The focus is you, you and I. I think we are the layman on the ground that really wants a pay increment and really wants to increase our income because we really need it. Like, we actually need it such that we can live a slightly better life and accumulate to even get the flat or a bigger flat or a condo. Right? So we do need it. And I thought about this. I was like, yeah, you know, let's talk about this because there's a lot of ideas floating around. A lot of people tell you what to do, brand yourself, find your value and all that stuff, right? Sometimes get very airy-fairy, right? And I know you tune into the Financial Coconut so that you get the crux of the information, the creme de la creme of ideas, right? Say. Thank you. Please vote for me. But I'm preparing the ground. I'm seeding the ground. One day, maybe I'll run. But okay. All that aside. Today, I want to bring to you 3 proven ways to increase your pay, okay, without running for politics. Lah. I mean, if you run for politics, then maybe you do get a pay increment. I don't know. MPs get paid, what, 17? Is it 15, 17,000? I don't know. I cannot remember exactly, but yeah, lah, 5-figure. Lah. You want to run for MP and do the 5-figure? But very hard, you know, the work is not easy. They don't just go into parliament. They got to manage the town. They got to walk the ground. They got to, you know, do all that. Lah. I mean, sometimes they take photo only. I don't know if they really do that. But from my casual interaction with some politicians, life is not easy. It's not as simple as what people would think. All right. So for that money, of course, you work hard. Lah, right? So whether is it your goal, go for it. Right? If you really believe that you want to run for politics, go for it. But if you don't want to run for politics, okay, and you are not a scholar, right, you don't get helicoptered in the system, I think there are some proven ways, right, that we can actually go about increasing our salary. And proven, it means that many people have tried it. It works. Some of you may have heard of these ideas, but then maybe there are some kinks in your head that you don't really go for it. I'm here to reframe some of your thoughts, right? Reframe some of the clashing beliefs in your head such that you will go about pursuing some of these strategies. And yeah, hopefully through this process, you do get your pay increment, the much needed increment, so that you can double down on your financial journey. And before we begin, once again, there are always some caveats, right? So I'm going to assume a few things, okay? I'm going to assume that you're not going to do massive changes in your life. That means you're not going to be like changing a whole sector. You're not going to be shifting to another country. You are not going to be like suddenly helicoptered up, you know, because some of your seniors have left and then, you know, company karangkabo and then they need to pull you up. So you're from middle management, suddenly become senior management. You know, I'm throwing aside all the big changes that can potentially happen to you. But yeah, it adds to the permutation of what can be discussed, right? So throwing aside all these things, no massive changes in your life. You never uproot yourself. You never change a whole sector. So given that you are within the same sector, doing what you do, how do you go about increasing your pay? And the very first idea is a very well-established idea. Okay, it's to be a frequent jumper. Okay, very well-established at this point in time, but not a lot of people do it. And I understand, right? Because once you get into the groove of doing things, you know, working, doing the grind, it's quite hard. You don't really have a lot of energy. You know, while you still must like keep fit, still must go dating, still must like hang out with friends, like so many things, right? It's so tiring. You know, and how can you like objectively keep being a frequent jumper, right? Which is why time and time again, we have talked about being good friends with headhunters, because headhunters' incentive structure is aligned with you. When they sell you, they get incentive based on the amount of salary they sell you at. Okay, so and with that, they can keep selling you and all that. But of course, headhunter will usually require you to be of a certain caliber already. Right, of course, some other low-hanging things is of course to put yourself out there. If you don't have a LinkedIn account, I don't know what you're doing. Right, as much as I think LinkedIn is an extremely like a shallow and like hypocritic kind of place. It's like, have you seen those posts like, I want to appreciate my team, Sally, for giving me this opportunity to grow, to become who I am. And for all the trials and tribulations that, who speaks like that? And then after work, right, you gather downstairs at the bar and then you complain about your boss, complain about your friend, complain about your colleague, complain about client. And then on LinkedIn, everybody like Macham writing gratitude posts. Very annoying, right? I don't know. I feel it's very annoying. Or maybe it's just me. It's just me, okay? Of course, you can go in and find it amusing. That's another way to look at it. But I have many friends that found great jobs, you know, in LinkedIn just by the very fact that they fill up all the things on LinkedIn and then they put out the indicator to say that they are open for hire or open for opportunities. And just that, you get a lot of DMs, right? Yeah, people slide into your LinkedIn DMs, right, to give you opportunities, right? So I think the ecosystem in LinkedIn has been pretty well built, as much as a lot of the content are very like fluffy and like annoying. And at least for me, it's very fluffy and annoying because it's overly simplified, right? A lot of these ideas, right, they tell you certain things, but they don't tell you the caveats. They don't contextualize it. They just make it sound like, I'll just do these 3 things to increase your income, blah, 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 right? They don't contextualize. I don't like it. But that's a different discussion, lah. Huh? All that being said, you must have a LinkedIn account. What are you waiting for, right? Go and open a LinkedIn account and slowly build it up. You don't want to like, when things are not doing so well, then you build it up and all that, right? So please go and do that. And I think a very good way to go about venting corporate anger, right? It's like when you work a job, you're like, beta hand, what, client, fucking annoying. Boss, walao, throw tantrum at me. Then who can I throw tantrum at? I'm the lowest life form in my company, you know? Even worse, I'm middle management. I cannot throw down, I cannot throw up. Right, I'm stuck in the middle. What do I do? You rage LinkedIn. You rage LinkedIn or you rage send out, you know? I am available for opportunities, you know, like rich send resume and all that, right? It's a great way to kind of check whether you are valid in the market and also at the same time, exhume your energy, lah. Don't just drink, lah, right? Rich send LinkedIn posts or rich send resume out there to see if there are opportunities for you. And I think that's a great way to go about managing the kind of corporate anger and all that. But okay, that being said, right, being a frequent jumper really does give you that kind of salary increment. The very fact that you are working in someone's company, in order for you to jump, there must be more perks, right? If not, why will you jump, right? So the other party also know that they have to match or bring it higher. And of course, you must bring it higher, like, if not, why you jump, right? So that being a frequent jumper and jumping from a position that you already have a job is a very powerful negotiation tool. And it's also a great validation from the other side to know that, oh, this person is hired, lah. Got company want them, especially a reputable company, right? So all these adds to your advantage and also adds to the other hiring people believing that you know what you're doing, right? So if you want to join a very big tech company, at least you're in a medium tech company. And if you're like, oh yeah, I think they know, lah, they're hired, right? Maybe can jump. So this becomes a very well-established idea, right? Even Jamers came on the show to talk about it, right? Be a frequent jumper, right? Work 2 years here, 3 years here, jump to the next place. Some people work 1 year, jump already, right? So I don't know if working 1 year is a great decision to jump, maybe 2 years, right? And to be clear, you don't need to jump out of a sector. You can jump within the sector, right? And then you become like a little bit more understanding of the sector. You're not seen as just like butterflying around, right? You actually are trying to figure out what works for you in this space, right? And I think that is well and beautiful. Like we assume, right, you never change a sector in the start of the discussion, right? So assuming you're not changing a sector such that you like repackage yourself, join a fast growth sector, get the massive increment, even within the sector you are in, if you are a frequent jumper, move around, it helps you, right? And to be clear, as a frequent jumper, you may end up not jumping because companies do match your pay. Okay, just for a simple understanding, company usually spend about 3 times the employee salary to hire the next person. Okay, think about it, okay? Simply put, they at least spend 1 time to pay the commission for headhunters or all the softwares and all the platform fees, right? They pay about 1 time your salary. And then usually they hire the person to come in. They give the person and you like 1 month to kind of like bridge over, right? So that in itself is already like at least 2 months of salary because the person that comes in, they have a learning curve. You are offloading. You need to spend some time to kind of offload this thing, right? So just the simple transition, 1 month to the headhunters or 1 month to the platforms and 2 months just to make sure you guys reach the world. Companies spend about 3 months just to transit at the very least. The higher the rungs, the more expensive it is to change people, right? So if you think about it, 3 months of salary, in other words, if I give you 5% increment, you stay, I match your salary at 10% increment, I still save more within the year. And then eventually I can kind of review whether I still want you, right? So all these realities, huh? And I think that's an important perspective that we need to have, right? So don't be afraid to want to jump, right? And don't be afraid to take on new opportunities. And what's the worst? You can always come back, right? If you're good enough, companies will want you back. Just when you leave, don't be a bad leaver. Like, I think there's an idea here, which is a bad leaver, right? Essentially, you smear the company and all that. Depends on how far you want to go, lah. Okay, I would say in the early days when you don't really have a lot of capital, a lot of political capital, don't have a lot of sway, don't have a lot of influence, a lot of money, tarik a bit lah, right? Give chance. I just say this is not my cup of tea. The environment doesn't fit my ideals or doesn't fit my goals. And then go to the next place lah. Just go to the next place. Eventually, you know, when you're a little bit stronger, your words matter. You know, if not, you kind of get subsumed in a lot of the political pressure lah. Okay, of different industries. Because the sectors are small. Singapore is a small space. Everybody knows everyone. So yes, that is the main idea. Be a frequent jumper. No paise. Get close relationship with the headhunters. Like, if not, at least have a LinkedIn account. Okay, be a frequent jumper. And the next point, the proven strategy to increase your pay, and that is to squeeze yourself into the leading organizations in your space. The keyword is squeeze, We have a little bit more discussion after a word from our sponsor.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Okay, so the keyword here is squeeze, right? Because you don't need me to tell you that everybody in the industry somehow has this idea that if you are from a big firm, right, in the space, right, whether you are like big four accounting lah, big four, I don't know, management consultant lah, you know, you're from Lee and Lee lah, Raja and Tan lah, or you're from Microsoft lah, you know, whatever, right? If you're dropped from the biggest firms in the space, CapitaLand, you know, whatever you, Singapore, right? So, assuming you are from the biggest companies in the sector, it adds to your resume. People see you different. Really. Even some people, recently I saw some people trying to, you know, share the credibility of the organizations that they are in. Right? So when they do the LinkedIn post, then they'll be like, I would love to thank, you know, Temasek, thank this fund, that bank for giving me opportunities over the many years to be who I am, such that now I can take out a big role in this consultancy, blah, 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 blah. So you get the idea, you get the idea, guys. So get yourself into a big organization or join the biggest in the game, right? Then suddenly your value is different, right? People see you differently for don't know why. And the question here is how, right? If you are already very good at what you do, of course, quite easy to get in. Okay, don't say easy, but it's like a lot easier, right? But if you're not, what if you're not? And that's why the keyword is squeeze. And the idea here is very simple, right? In many big organizations, there are processes that people don't like. They are not popular. They're not core. They always got hiring problems. Right? I mean, other than IT and tech, which is like super skilled kind of situation where it's just very hard for you if you don't know. Of course, you know, just do skills feature or learn to code lah, 响应你的号召, right? Go for it, right? Upgrade yourself, improve yourself, right? So you can do all that and great, right? But actually, there are a lot of operations in big organizations that people don't like. And of course, many a times it falls under operations, right? Things like compliance lah, things like client management, you know, even like sales lah or business development. And a lot of things in the middle, people don't like, right? Unless they are professional, like HR, you know, or even accounts, right? So some of these things, people don't like it. Right, people don't like it. So it's always perpetually hiring. You see one, it's always there one. Perpetually hiring one. Okay, it's always there. Always people always hiring compliance and always hiring, yeah, operations, always hiring client management, a lot of these things, right? Because or like call center, people are very afraid of these things, right? And I understand because of all the horror stories and maybe the pay is not the best. Right. But the idea here is once you squeeze into the big organization, you can ask for transfer. And it's a lot easier. Right, so you can squeeze into a big organization and then you ask to transfer to the department that you always wanted. Right, so maybe you studied something, right? Like maybe you study accounts, right? You study accounts already and then you come as a, well, accounting, very boring. I don't want to do this, very sad. Okay, so what do? You end up, the moment that you come out, the first job, you do marketing, right? Everybody want marketing, like what, sexy, you know, always give the pictures, right? They don't make sense one. But yeah, so whatever, right? You join marketing and all that, right? And you love it. Wow, fun, yeah, exciting. You know, but because you don't really have a lot of credentials, because you never do a lot of marketing projects, your internship wasn't in the right places. So you couldn't end up in the big companies. You end up joining the smaller companies, right? So what you can potentially do, let's say you want to join like big tech, right? Why not you join the accounts department of the big tech? Because that is your skill set, right? You already have it. Everybody knows you have it. But you don't love it enough to do like big four. Right? Every day the accountant, very, very xinku one, very gangko, the people that work in accounts in the big four. Right? Have you seen like you walking the way, like listening to this podcast, walking your way to like Raffles Place, right? Like going back home. And then you see all these people coming out, peak hour coming out, all accountant. All going back to work. So auditor, accounts are very xinku, right? So yeah, people don't like it. I get it. So the idea here is, once you get one foot in, you build relationship with the the HR, you get to know the other departments, you make friends, and then you can position yourself to jump. there's a lot of internal shifts that is much easier. Once you get in, they have the buy-in for you, you can shift to the department that you want. Right, so this covers two things, right? One is now you are officially part of the big organization. So income definitely is much better. And of course, if you then choose to jump out of the big organization, you have reputation. So that is very powerful. The others is instead of going head on in the original job scope that you wanted, now you take a tangent, but you hit back in to the job that you wanted. Right, so wow, one stone hit many birds. Right? So you squeeze into a big organization, you increase your pay, you increase your reputation such that when you come out, if you choose to come out, your pay is still going to be very strong and powerful because people assume that, you know, wow, this one from big company come out one. Right? Similar to how people think like, oh, this person come from a great university. Right? So similar idea. Right? There is some sort of association there. And then you tangent, swing, you know, 2 years down, you still get the job that you wanted. Right, so I think that's the idea, right? Squeezing yourself into the biggest organization in your space does give you a lot of value and very likely will increase your pay, lah, right? Because they're the biggest, right? And then even after that, once you're part of the biggest, when you come out, right, oh, there's a lot of good things for you. Usually that is what I hear from a lot of different people, right? You've seen many people around and I'm going to interview more and more of them. Check out Chills, you will hear them. And this brings me to the third point, okay? Proven way to increase your pay without running for politics. The third point is be likable and build up political capital, okay? This is extremely important. Please throw away the meritocracy idea in your head, okay? I know I've heard so many people say this. As long as I'm good, people will see me. As long as I'm valuable, people will see me. Answer is no. No, okay? There is a chance that people will see you just because you're good, but it's not very likely, okay? If you, how to increase that chance, go out there. Put yourself out there. Make friends. Go for a networking event. Go for industry events, right? You were in HR. When was the last time you go to an SHRI event, right? You were in like fintech or you were in like, you know, finance. When was the last time you joined some of these fintech events, right? There's a new crypto thing. Why you never go and take a look at what your competitors are doing, right? So you must go for these events. You must get to know people, LinkedIn some people, talk to them, the leading people in the industry. See if they give you a chance to connect with them. And if you get to do that, you're building capital, building political capital, you're building the influence. More and more people know you. And then, yeah, you get very good opportunities. And some of these opportunities really will not come with you just being very good at what you do. Okay, it's I think me and my friends, we have established this idea, right? Being very good at what you do gets you into the middle. So like, maybe in the banks will be like AVP, you know, maybe VP, you know, but banks, all inflated one, all the titles all inflated one. So it's more like manager or like senior manager at best, being very good at what you do. But to move up, you need an opportunity, right? To move up further into the leader realm, the director, the people making the decision, you need opportunity. And this opportunity only comes when people like you, people trust you, people have good vibes about you. They understand your values, your ideas, your worldview, and they feel like we vibe together, we are on a mission. Only then you can move further. Okay, that is how I look at it. Right. So assuming you want to stay in the sector that you're in, but you want to keep moving up and moving up, moving up, then yeah, like, you need the kind of opportunities. And the best way is to get to know a lot of people, build up your political capital, and then be very influential. I mean, you can start a podcast. I know a lot of people do that, right? They start a podcast, they get some of the leading voices, talk. Suddenly they become influential, like, wow, thank you. Please vote for me. Thank you. But the idea is there, right? And I know it's time. Hiring, I know, very concord. Wow, work, still got to do this, go back, take care of kids, everything, still must build up political capital. Oh my goodness. The idea here is if you don't want, it's fine. I don't think it's a problem. But if you want, this is something you have to do. Okay, but interesting tip is if you are going for industry event, actually, most of your companies will allow you to go during work hours. That's why a lot of industry events happen during work hours. Right? And then you can just go as a work hour. In fact, industry events perform better during work hours than weekends. Right? Weekend, you set up like some maritime fair. Who go? Who will go? So nobody will go. Right? So industry events are usually set up on the weekdays anyway. So ask for time off, go for it. Right? If you don't want to go, join a few friends, go together. Lah, right? Incentivize yourself. And if your company cannot allow multiple people go together, then join another friend in the same sector from a different company to go together. Right? It's not that difficult. But you must be intentional. You must be intentional with the idea that, okay, I need to build up political capital. I must throw away the idea that meritocracy, as long as I'm good, people will see me. No, throw away this idea. You must be good. This is a baseline. But then on top of being good, you must be seen. People must know you. You must be connected. You must build up political capital, right? It's like where I am today, right? Because of all your support, you tune in. Of course, I'm quite cute, quite smart, quite entertaining, right? I know, right? If not, why will you tune in? So all those things are valid. But because you tune in every week, I get a certain amount of influence. And then some of these other people want to get to know you guys also. So they want to share your ideas so that I get to know other people. So, you know, it's like I'm going on this cycle of like building up a lot of influence. And you can do it in small ways, right? You don't need to be a legendary podcaster, thank you. You know, you can just, you know, be a little bit more influential, know a little bit more friends, you know, in the space they are in. Hey, and there are a lot of good perks, when I tell you. Okay, when it's like recently I'm trying to systemize TFC a little bit more, like, you know, like having a product brief lah, project brief lah, you know, content structure, a lot of these things, they start to come in and I'm like, oh my God, I got to build all these from scratch. So difficult. But now, because I have friends in the sector that are from other media companies, I ask them, hey, can you send me your template? Is it okay? You share with me your template. And then, dala, I got all the templates. And then now I have an easier basis to work out of. Right, so it helps my work, it gives me opportunities, it builds my influence, and then voila, I can increase my pay eventually, right? So I think this is extremely important and I really want to highlight, right? Throw the idea of meritocracy out of the door. You must still be good at what you do, lah, huh? It's not that you like cha-cha and then you like just go and like, oh, hi. No, people won't care. You must be decently good at what you do, but at the same time, go out there, be connected, be influential, or at least be influential within the circle that you're in. Influential does not mean like, you know, celebrity all, you know, but you can be good friends with a lot of important people or get to know a lot of people in the space that you're in. And then you can share ideas, share resources and grow well and good, very beautiful. Right? So at the end of the day, I just want to say that if this is not your goal, it's fine. I'm not saying you have to do it. But if your goal is to increase your income and all that, right? I think these are the three most proven ways to go about increasing your income, right? And of course, you can learn other things. You can invest, you can learn a side hustle. All those things is up to you, it's fine. But within the parameters of growing, of increasing your income within the job parameter and not changing, not doing massive changes to your life, I think these are three proven ways.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
So I'm going to sum it up. Number one is to be a frequent jumper. Very well and tested proven. Jump to different companies. And when you're in a company, you have a lot more negotiating power to jump to the next company at a higher price because you're not urgent, right? You're not in a rush. The other side also know that in order to get you over, they need to pay you more, right? So be a frequent jumper. Number two is to squeeze yourself into the leading organizations in your space. This is very important because once you go in, you can ask for a pivot back to the original post that you wanted. And now you're part of the leading organization in your field. Your reputation is different. People see you differently. Everybody trying to make friends with you. Trust me, go and try it. Okay. Many people have said that. And of course, the last thing is be likable, build up political capital. Okay. Throw away the idea of meritocracy. You still must be good at what you do, but you must go out there and make friends, get to know people, you know, be sufficiently influenced within the industry. You get a lot of opportunities and makes your work much easier. Okay, so with that, I hope you learned something useful today. See ya! Hey, I hope you learned something useful today. I truly appreciate that you took time off to better your life with the Financial Coconut. Knowledge is that much more powerful, interesting when shared, debated, and discussed. Join our community Telegram group, and hopefully by then we have Reddit. And yeah, sign up for our email newsletter, follow our TikTok, join our YouTube, yeah, all the stuff. And of course, if you like First Dibs, my segment, and you really think that it should be on YouTube, let me know, okay? I'm trying to think of how to do this properly on YouTube. Okay, so yeah, we will see. Maybe I will start recording my video for this segment. And yeah, with that, I hope you learned something useful today and take care. Bye-bye. Okay, so I am not very sure what is going to happen next week because I am recording this episode to be stored in the backlog. So that when the politicians have this discussion, I can put my episode out. So I want to hijack the SEO. So I'm going to do that. Okay, most important is the ideas. But yeah, I think this is probably the second month of the year. I know after all the celebration, you take a breather and be like, wow, so many things have happened. What's next? So don't be too in a hurry lah, I feel, right? As we go along, we'll learn more things together. There are some core ideas in personal finance that I will repeat in the next few months, especially investing. I know a lot of you are concerned. So I will share with you some of elevated or improved ideas for 2023 to think a little bit about for investing, okay? So yeah, see you next week.